Santa Claus in a big church swinging by a wire playing in the steel guitar. This brought more glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for all the little remnant churches that do what we do. We're doing it for the Lord, to glorify our God. So praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. See some visitors here today too. And it's glad you made it. Glad you made it. Praise the Lord. And those who couldn't make it, you missed out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach a long message tonight. I don't think so unless the Holy Spirit changes it. I thought sure I'd get an amen.
Amen.
Thank you. But anyway, I'm gonna just preach quickly on the importance of home. The importance of home. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 13 says, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. God loves the home. You know, when we were young, as young kids, you don't appreciate the home like you do as you get older. You kind of take your home for granted. But we got to think about how great a home really is. In our vocabulary, we have expressions like home life, home sweet home, homemaker, home free, the comforts of home. It's in sports, it's nice to have the home court advantage. Kids that go away to camp sometimes get homesick. Sometimes good food is likened to a home-cooked meal. In baseball, to score, you must come home. Tim Allen, remember that show starred in the TV Home Improvement?
Yeah.
A lot about home. Today, just listening to different things on television and the internet and everything, I heard the home mentioned continually. We may know the words to songs like Home on the Range, My Old Kentucky Home, Sweet Home Alabama, Take Me Home Country Roads. Us older ones remember some of those. The younger ones say, what in the world is this guy talking about? James Dobson made a series of videos called Turn Your Heart Toward Home. When you little and rode your bike off to play with a friend, what would mom say? Maybe you be home by dark. Be home before dinner. Everything's about the home, isn't it? When someone is in transition, they may be reminded, home is where you hang your hat. Or someone feeling out of place in a new residence could be comforted with, home is where your heart is. Home is where your heart is. See, Christmas has a lot to do with home. The songs, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays, and I'll Be Home for Christmas, it makes us think of times around the Christmas tree where faithful friends or family are dear to us will be dear once more when we come around Christmas time. There's an illustration. It was December of 1903, just 122 years ago. We got somebody who's close to that in here tonight. After that many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground and into the air, Kitty Hawk. Thrilled over the accomplishment, they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine. We've actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, how nice. The boys will be home for Christmas. He totally missed the big news. For the first time in human history, man had flown. But then I think, or had he missed the big news, the boys would be home for Christmas. You know, the image of home is all over the Christmas story in the Bible too. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 7. You'll read it. Joseph and Mary traveled for their very first Christmas. They had to go to Joseph's family hometown, the tiny village of Bethlehem in Judea. And that is where Jesus was born. Verse 4 says, "And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed, and Mary was his spouse's wife, being great and with child. And so was it that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." See, in a sense, Joseph could have said, "I'll be home for Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas." But there's another way in which home plays a part in the Christmas story. Maybe this picture can help us out. I wonder what the scene was like in heaven when Jesus left home to come to earth. What must have that been like? I wonder if that day moved the heart of the Father. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "The angel sang, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This must have touched the Lord's heart when he heard these angels singing about his son. And I'm sure God rejoiced in the miracles of the incarnational love that was shown. John chapter 1, 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." But God's gift to us didn't come without a tremendous price tag, did it? Came with a tremendous price tag. Jesus left his home in heaven. Think about that. He left his home in heaven, temporarily sacrificing the kind of union he had known with the Father throughout all eternity. He had believed that. The Father who too would feel and notice a change in the way things had always been. The Son came to earth as a baby, vulnerable, little, and helpless. Imagine this. The caregiver subjected himself to needing constant care. Just put himself in that position. The Creator himself willingly dwelt bodily inside the form of that which he had created to be our salvation, to give his life for us, and guess what? To call us home. One time Jesus would say, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That mansion there means your residence or abode, a home. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." That's in John 14, 2. Just think, came to earth and died and went back and preparing a home. Amen. He was telling us not just his home, but our home also. Hallelujah. A place with many rooms for many people and homes that really do exist. And quite simply, here lies the message of Christmas. Jesus left his home to remind us we're not at home yet. None of us are at home yet. That's the point. That's the message of Christmas. Picture this in your mind. On the night before he died, Jesus took his disciples into an upper room, gave them some bread and non-alcoholic wine. Amen. And told them, "This is my body, this is my blood, it's me." See, the meal of the bread and the wine is a piece of home. It's a piece of home. I think he wanted to establish a reminder that we're never far from home. And in a strange surrounding, the piece of home brings a whole lot of security. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house," meaning home, "of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God," a house, meaning a home when you look that up, "not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." God's been busy making us a home, a permanent home. Where will you be? Will you be with family, with friends, maybe working, or maybe even alone? There's many tonight, even alone, and tomorrow on Christmas Day, they'll be all by themselves. The words of the one song called "Christmas Lullaby" by Amy Grant and Chris Eaton says, "I will lead you home." I listened to it. It's really a beautiful song. I'm not going to sing it, though. I can't even get close to it. It says, are you far away from home this dark and lonely night? Tell me what would be best to help ease your mind. Someone to give direction for this unfamiliar road, or one who says, follow me and I will lead you home. How beautiful, how precious the Savior of old to love so completely the loneliest soul. How gently, how tenderly he says to one and all, child, you can follow me and I will lead you home. Trust me and follow me and I will lead you home. Isn't that beautiful? The Savior, the one we're praising tonight, the one we're singing about tonight, the one we're praising tonight, the one we're honoring tonight. He came to earth and he's the one we keep our eyes fixed on. He's the one that's going to get us home. Amen. He's the one who will take us home, and he knows exactly where we live when we get there, because he made us uniquely. What a God we serve. If you feel like you've only be home for Christmas in your dreams, just remember this. Matthew chapter 8, 19, verse 3 20. It says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whichever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. See, when he had born, he had a home, but it was very temporal. And when he went into ministry and left, he had no home. He told anybody that's going to follow me, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He was on to complete the salvation work so you and I would have an eternal home. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Hallelujah. See, Jesus left his home to remind us that none of us are really home yet. But there's a taste of home, and it's called sweet communion, which we're going to take right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. An eternal home. We're passing through, people. We have temporal homes. Some people have had homes that they have not been able to live a normal life in for whatever reason. They don't look at their home as a great place they want to be. But there's going to be a home one day that we get to that's going to be perfected. And we're going to be with the one who built it. And again, there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more loneliness, no more depression. For Jesus completed our salvation once we get there. We'll be living with him in this home. Hallelujah. Come on in, guys. I knew you'd come back. Glory to God. So as we take communion, just keep your eyes and your thoughts fixed on Jesus. Examine your hearts. Put your faith and trust in what Jesus did up on that cross. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anything in your hearts that needs to be forgiven, ask Jesus to forgive you. And he's just and faithful to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. I want to say this to people. This is home here. A church, you hear people say it often, that's my home, that's my family. Because home means. And in heaven, it's going to be community. It's going to be a home of millions and multitudes of brothers and sisters in Christ. But right now, as we are going forward in these days and these hours of the world right now, it's getting darker and darker. A home like this is going to be so vitally important when we come together. This is our church home. This is where we come to encourage one another, to help one another, to pray for one another. That's why it's so vitally important to come together in fellowship. Jesus knew the importance why we should come together. And that's why it's important to always remember a church should be your home there. And to be thankful for each and every one of you here. Hallelujah. Are we all good? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here I'm talking and I forgot to turn to my scripture. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad this is my home. My home church. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 starting. At which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance me. Let's all partake. Jesus, we remember that it was you that paid the price. You left your home in heaven to come and die on a cruel cross. We thank you. We remember it was you, Jesus. And then we go on. We take the manner. Also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, again in remembrance of me. Let's partake. Jesus, thank you for shedding your precious blood. Thank you again for leaving heaven and coming here to die on a cruel cross and shedding that precious blood, the blood that has power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You made it possible to reconcile us that one day we will live with you. And in we praise you, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you.
really? Hallelujah. See, this shows how imperfect we are, right? Hallelujah. We got rights to be imperfect.
That's right.
Glory to God. You know something? We got a homecoming.
Yeah.
There's going to be a sound of the trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which remain shall follow thereup after. We are making preparation. We are entering the year 2026. Lord, by the grace of God, we that are here, those listening tonight, we're still alive. We may see that entry time.
Thank you, Lord.
But if we don't, Lord, I believe we're going to be entering an incredible time where the Holy Spirit will be moving in a supernatural way. I believe for this church that we are going to be entering in a time of divine healings and a divine move of God. And Lord, this worship and this praise is why you came into this earth. You came to bring peace. You came to bring salvation to a lost world. But in the middle of it, Father, you also brought healing. You brought deliverance. And Lord, you brought joy. And Lord, you brought contentment and peace and long-suffering, Lord. You're a patient God. And so, Lord, we finish this evening giving you the praise and all the glory and all the honor. For I know you're on the march, and I know you're getting ready to say, come forth to our new home in heaven. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Lord, bless. Merry Christmas to all of you.